This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Today we welcome the Garifuna Collective. This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight, and I'm very pleased to be joined today by Al Obando from the Garifuna Collective. Great to see you.
Good, man. Good to be here and good to have a talk with you and for your program.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being here. We should tell listeners that we're speaking today in kind of a lobby room here off to the side of the main area here in the Finland Hotel in Butte, Montana. And you're here as part of the Montana Folk Festival with the Garifuna Collective. And we're going to be learning a lot about the band, the Garifuna Collective. We're going to be learning about the Garifuna culture and the music, of course.
Correct.
So let's just dive right into it. One of the things I wanted to ask you, I know that the word Garifuna, the term that applies to both the music and the culture, Belize is the main area, or is that part of the area of where everything comes from?
Belize is stuck in Central America, right below Mexico, south of Mexico, east of Guatemala, north of Guatemala and Honduras. So the Garifuna people settled on the coast of Nicaragua, Honduras, coming up to Guatemala, and then Belize, the last settlement. So Belize was one of the last places for the Garifuna people to settle. When the migration started, and the island of Rotan is in front of the coast of Honduras, so they settled in that area mostly, and then eventually they migrated to Belize, and that's how we have Garifuna people, and this is one Garifuna people. It's the same people, like relatives, names, the culture, it's the same one Garifuna people that lives on that strip of land, on the coast of Belize to the coast of Nicaragua.
Well, I have a personal connection to Belize, and it's funny to hear you describe you know, where it is, because I confess in my mm-hmm. early 30s, when I moved to Montana and I was working at a job that I had a coworker, and he and I became friends right away. And I wasn't sure, it had a little tiny bit of an accent and I couldn't quite place it. And when he told me he was from Belize, and I had to think, wait, where's Belize? I don't know where Belize is. So that's how I got to find mm-hmm. out about it. And that's how kind of Belize came into my life through this friend of mine. So I was really excited to get a chance to to meet someone and hear the music from that culture. And is that where you're from, Belize?
Yeah, I'm from Belize. I was born in a district called Stand Creek District. In Belize, there were six districts. I'm from the south. Stand Creek is in the south. And I was born in the valleys. The Stan Creek Valley, in a village called Alta Vista, in the Citrus Valleys, mountains and hills. My dad used to be a manager there for the farms. And so eventually I lived in the town on the coast of Dangriga, which is the biggest population of Garifuna people. So from Dangriga down, you go to a village like Hopkins, St. Bide, Placencia, until you reach the town of Punta Gorda, which is the farthest town, and to the last village called Barranco, where Ande Palacio is from. Yeah, so I was born and I grew up and I lived in the Stan Creek District, and I'm now in the town of Dangriga, which is a Garifuna word, Dangriga meaning sweet water. Yeah.
Well, I want to hear more about this your homeland and your where you're living right now. Just you started to talk a little bit about the geography.
Yeah.
I'm always interested in the food. Oh, and I remember my friend talking about very specific culinary dishes from the area.
That's a big intrigue, and that's a big, I think tourism is big in Belize, but that's how they survive, with the uniqueness of the food. But the way it works to me from ever since is because Belize is a mixture of people. So the Garifuna people is one of the cultures in Belize, with their own culinary food, which is like really highly respected. You know, it's sometimes difficult to get it. It's so highly in demand. It's so hard to make and make it right, you know? So, you know, you got like the hudot and the darasa, you know, and stuff like that, the sahau. And now you have the Latino, the Hispanic people, the mestizo people, with their own stuff, the tamales and the boyos and the tacos. You know, those are people like in the north and in the west, all the border towns with Guatemala and Mexico. So they have that, like, naturally. Then we have like the East Indian people who migrated to the Caribbean and eventually arrived in Belize with their all curries and foods like that. And then we have the Creole people, who is another ethnic culture in Belize. And they have their own, you know, rice and beans and chicken, and, you know, and then we have the Mayas, the ancient Maya people, who have their own everything. They have their own identity, their own food. And so when you go to Belize, you never know what you're going to meet. It all depends on where you land. So if you land in the West, you could get everything, but they will be more specific, or they will be more like focused on one type of food. And so to get Garifuna food, there is you would have to go down south. You know, you would rarely find it in other towns that is not a Garifuna town or where Garifuna people live. But now in Belize City itself, which is like a mixture of everybody, there is a Garifuna restaurant there for the first time. Along with all the Chinese, we have all the Chinese and Lebanese and everything else. So in terms of culinary, it's a fiesta. It's a the big party going on with food, and it's up to you in terms of what you like. But I'm sure you could find whatever type of food you like there.
This is absolutely fascinating. I had no idea it went that deep. That's amazing. And all those different cultures coming together.
So if at home, if I eat in the morning, we decide what we will have for lunch. You know, and it could be, today could be escabeche, which is a Spanish mestizo food. You know, it's like onions and like a soup and chicken. A week tomorrow, we could cook curry, you know, or tomorrow morning, we could go out and just eat some tacos on the street. Or you could get tamales this evening, or we could get some freshly baked bread, some Creole bread, eat that with some cheese. So it's exciting, you know. There is no big pressure. And then you have your restaurant, say, waiting if you're confused. You know, you could just go and pick up something from a restaurant. But that's how we live there in Belize.
I loved asking that question to you, because your whole manner and your facial expressions, like everything came alive when I asked about the food. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, because my mom, she's like a specialist, right? And in everything, especially when it comes to food from young, you know, she so we, our history of growing up varied. She's like a East Indian person, and so the people down south in Punta Gorda and Toledo, they're known for their food, and she's from there, so she's like obsessed with the kitchen. You know, so we took advantage of that, and we're still taking advantage. And she will call us, "When you're gonna come to eat something?" You know, that's how we live there. And I can't wait. Like my little dog, you know, she knows when it's a grandma going to grandma house. She gets excited because, you know, something about the food. You know, she knows. So there's always Johnny cake, some type, something is being cooked fresh. Huh. Yeah, that's so we good. Yeah.
Al, I want to go back to learning a little bit more about the Garifuna culture, mm-hmm. because one of the things I remember from doing a little bit of research is from the original origins, from the origins of the culture, these are people who are survivors,
yes.
correct? Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yes, yes. These are people who have had a history of, from surviving extinction, you could go to that level of, you could say that these people came from the Africans who were brought to the Caribbean islands, settled on the islands, and they interacted with the Arawak Indians who came up from South America into the islands. So they were there already by the time the Africans reached there. And this was because of all the slave trade happening.
Wasn't it actually like ships that had were wrecked?
Ships that came with slaves were eventually, shipwrecks was always an abundance. And so people settled. But what happened is that the island were owned either by the French, by the Dutch, by the English. So they dominated the islands. So even though you were shipwrecked, you didn't own an island. You ended up on an island that was for a bigger country, a bigger mother country. The island of St. Vincent was a French colony. And so eventually they were exiled from the island because the French didn't want them on the island anymore. And so there is a small little island right in front of St. Vincent called Balisau. So they say, all right, all you guys, you have to get out. So they were banished from the island of St. Vincent and they were put to the island called Balisau. But with that, the people, they still wasn't satisfied. They say, you know what, we just can't leave these people there. We have to go and kill them. So they went to the island of Balisau and they started massacring the people they had abandoned already, banished from the island already. And so with that, there was a great leader called Chateauay, which all Garifuna people know and consider as the leader. This is the guy who rescued them. This is the guy who stood up to the leader of the French and fought the battle against the French and said, no, you won't kill us out. We will find a way to survive, even if you send us into the sea. So they eventually went into the sea, into the unknown, and that's how they ended up in the island of Rotan, in front of Honduras. And there's a mass migration of people. And so that's how they eventually ended up. And so that's how that whole concept of resiliency started building up, they met this island, and by the time they got to Honduras was a Spanish colony. Guatemala is a Spanish colony also. Belize was the only English-speaking country in entire Central America, and it still is. The only English-speaking colony or area in Central America. And the history is that even the English took a long time to accept the Garifuna people into Belize. It was, it took years, and that reenactment of showing up on the coast of a country, which is like Belize, asking for permission to stay on the land, them telling you no, you can't stay here. If you stay here, you can't come into the city. You have to go down south, further into the Stan Creek area and Punta Gorda area. You can't come into the city. That idea is reenacted and celebrated every year. On the 19th of November, it is called a Yurume. It is called a reenactment. It is called a 19th celebration reenactment. So like 4 or 5 in the morning, the guys, they go out in boats. And they do this reenactment, like boats coming in with people, and they come with the drums, and they come with the singing. And that's how like a big thing in Belize. It's called Yurume. Yurume meaning Saint Vincent in Garifuna language. But it's just like an honoring of that whole movement coming in. And there's this little, this little thing with the master on the shore waiting for them and telling them no. Then they take a little spin in the river and they come back. But it's just like to remind you of the struggle that went on or the story that happened. So this is, and then after that there's a big celebration and there's a big mass and everything. So that's how the story goes there.
Oh,
This is John Floridas. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm speaking today with Al Obando from the Garifuna Collective. Let's talk a little bit about the music. Mm-hmm. A little bit. There's a lot to talk about with the music. Let's talk about the music and also how the group came together, because there's a very unique story about how the group came together and how it carried on after one of the gentlemen who kind of started the group passed away. Fantastic story.
Yeah, well, music has always been a big... big deal in Belize, you know, and with the cultures and the many cultures in Belize, there is music. And the Garifuna music has been out for and celebrated. It is there, it is embedded in the culture, just like the food, just like the ideology they have. And so the groups, it took the effort of Stone Tree Records, Ivan Duran. One day decided that there's all this music out there, but it wasn't being documented. And so he started to record and document the songs. And eventually he knew Andy Palacio and they started collaborating. And Andy Palacio was an artist already before this whole thing started. And they came together and Andy Palacio had a reflection. He made a decision in his life because of certain things that happened that he really wanted to figure out how he could be a pro-activist for the culture and how could we keep the culture alive. He was noticing that the villages were losing the language, losing the culture, losing the whole ethnicity, your whole uniqueness was being lost. And between him and Ivan, they decided to team up with many other composers and artists, people like he himself and the Palacio, you know, composers like Paul Nabor, the elder, the real elder, the older guy in the group, Justo, guys from Honduras, everybody came together, Belizeans, musicians, they came together and they started working, you know, creating songs. And then this eventually started flourishing into something else, and they started to put the story together and more people started to become interested. Then eventually they collaborated and made the album Watina, And with that, years and years pushing the idea, that same story of how will we protect it? How will we protect this culture? And they realize that it's not the only way, one of the way, is to take it to the world. Present this music to the world. Make it relevant. Make it relevant that a festival could hire you to play these songs, you know, like that. And they went on, and eventually the Watina album was nominated for, was sent out to all the publicists, you know, in Europe and US and here in Canada. And eventually won the World Music Award.
We'll be back with more from the Garifuna Collective here on Musicians Spotlight. Welcome back to Musicians Spotlight and our visit with the Garifuna Collective.
sa anyega wa bute amunyego daba funa sa ayanu hagari funa numa amunyego kaba funa sa aruma hanuma o amunyego kaba funa sa adugraha wa wo amunyego Funa numa amunyego Kaba funa sa aruma hanuma oho amunyego Kaba funa sa adugraha wa oho amunyego Again da guati wayuna go Luha bagaritu ke garina go Wakia mesa aferi dire wagabure matega wame
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. We return to our conversation with Al Obando of the Garifuna Collective. When we left off, Al was sharing that after founding member Andy Palacios' sudden passing in 2008, which followed the group's award-winning album, Watina, the collective was at an impasse as to how to move forward.
A couple of months after the award, Andy Palacios passed away. So his
right. So this happens right after his efforts to bring the music to the world,
and to reach that point, just to reach that point of 2007. This was like years of work already. You know, there was a next band called the Garifuna All Star Band. They had toured, they had worked, they had people were really interested. Everybody started to focus. Oh, you know what? We really need to work together to save this and be a part of it. And he, as a leader of the whole initiative, passed away in 2008, and so all that was left was everybody else, you know, us, the younger generation, all the other people who worked on the album. So everybody decided, you know what, this can't end like this, you know, because that was not the mission from the beginning. The mission was to set up and find a way how this could live on, and live on in the right sense, and live on in terms of we're not here. Who would take this mantle and continue with it? And the beauty with it is that the music itself lends itself to a situation like that where anybody could come and should be able to come and work, take these same songs, you know, and take the message and take this, the joyness and this happiness and this story we have to share and continue with it. That's how we are now as the Garifuna Collective. You know, it's a group of people like 30, 40, 50 musicians over the years involved in recording, production, you know, just getting everything together. And the group we have now is, there were like three young members in the group. And that, I'm sure Andy Palacios would be like super, super happy, you know, knowing that we have people now who are able to come in, you know, at the same time learn, put in a good next 15 years, you know. Myself, Sam Harris, Chichiman, Chela being there before me, you know, Ivan, everybody. We have done some years, we put in some years in this, and we are happy to bring in new people and to share and to bring them to festivals like this, see how it works, put them in the situation. We just came from Europe, you know, for the first time they're seeing this type of festivals and, you know, getting the experience. So they could end up talking about it just like the way I could. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm traveling with the band like over 12 years now, over 12 years, and it should never stop. Mm. And so we're a group of people right now with a good energy, with a good vibe, with a solid mission, which is just to take the music to the world and present it in the most relevant way we can and hope that people accept it and like our story.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm speaking today with Al Obando from the Garifuna Collective. One of the things that fascinates me, and I think that it's a good way to kind of drive this point home with our listeners, is though the music was very much a product of the work of Andy Palacio, and he was the force behind it, it never really was about him.
Correct.
You know, because it seems like a lot of times in American culture anyway, and I think in Western culture, so often, you know, we have the star. Understand, you know, if you're Prince, you're Prince. But this is an entirely different thing. Correct. Where his goal was not to create something that was about him. It was about an entirely different goal.
There's no selfishness involved in this. Yeah.
And there's no front person in the Garifuna Collective, exactly, as we think
what
of it.
We have in the front is a set of melodies, Garifuna melodies, that will live on and that should live on, that any, you know, person could sing. The melodies, and to us in the studio, that's what stands out. And in music, to us, that's what stands out. It's finding these deep rhythms, these rhythms that connect, this one line that connects with people, this one story, this one way. And sometimes the last thing I do when I work with Garifuna music, I'm not a Garifuna person. I barely understand the language itself. I live in the community. I work on the recording. I do the mixing. I play the guitar. I play the bass. And I mix. And I just go with the vibe. But what I know is that I don't ask to translate. I go with it because I love the sound. I go for the sound, right? Like it would be like months after, what is that song saying? I would ask afterwards. I wouldn't have it influence my mixing. I wouldn't have it influence the way I treat the song, right? So I come in there with an open mind, and so at the same time, for me, it either works or not, right? In the studio, if it's a good hook, it's a good hook. I don't want you to translate it. I don't need it to be translated. It's music, right, to me, and it touches you and in a certain way. And most of the time, it turns out that it's a good vibe if it's translated. But the rhythms, you can't take away from it. You know, the rhythms, the drums, the music, and the Garofta music is built around those two drums, the maracas and the vocals. That's it. So whatever energy exists at that point. The guitars and the other guitars and the bass and the other elements you add, that's just like something else to make it a little more appealing or listenable to the listener to say, okay, there's some guitars, you know. But to find those deep-rooted melodies, there is no secret, you know, it exists. And even now, we have to go back to older people, you know, and ask them, like, you know, with the songs, you have any songs you're talking about? And so even now with this, what the Garofna Collective represents is a newness, it gives confidence to the younger artists, because there are many younger artists and musicians coming up, and they're seeing that it's only through retrieval like this and seriousness and a dedication to the culture like this that you get things done. You know, it's not like a joke. It's not like anything you could just say, you will just take on and do like that. You know, so the Garofna Collective and the work we do is highly respected, and they depend on us to make it work. So things like this, like your radio interview coming to the festivals, they see how. So when we say they you could take the music to the world, they see the living example of what that means, right? Because you could start and say, okay, guys, we'll record an album and we'll tour and stuff, but it doesn't work like that. You know, a lot of people have to get involved. A lot of people have to understand your story the same way. A lot of people have to like or want to be a part of your story. You know, and that's the hardest thing. That's the hardest thing. And we are happy that we have a story to tell. And we are happy that people want to listen to it, and it's a good story that people appreciate it and could relate to. And that's how we continue as the Garofna Collective.
Ayo, 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 baby, and the ayo, 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 bamerago, and the ayo. Ayahu wahali, yon balise, ayahu wahali, yon bao. Age buri haro, uguchuro, age buri haya, disanigo. Ayo, 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 bibandi, ayo, 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 bamera bandi, ayo. Dinagua ya tibu, lagiro nasio. Familia Paulo, Matei.
muserubi wa ale farakio wa kuli bari baba o na badimo apungura apungura yo ayo 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 di mandi ayo ayo di ayo 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 amera mandi ayo.
Al, I wanted to come back to something that you said earlier. Do I understand correctly, you yourself are not of the Garifuna?
I'm not the Garifuna.
Okay, well, that kind of brings me to to my next question is, we've talked about this culture, we've talked about this music, the history. I want to know, how did this music come to you personally? Yeah, and how did it get to be so much a part of your life?
Yeah, it became part of my life because I was, I grew up playing music with my brothers and my cousins. My dad had a band, and I got into it because of the sound engineering. In my town, in Dangriga, there were bands before, they were like music bands, you know, with equipment and stuff. But from very young, when we started playing, we were fortunate to buy some equipment that was far superior at that time, to everybody else around. And then the recording process, everybody else was at a kind of loss. So in my role in my band was set up the equipment, play the guitar, program the drum machine, take care of everything, drive, you know, and so. So eventually I got into the engineering aspect. After that, because I was the one educating myself in sound engineering and recording, everybody came to me and I started helping. And I couldn't afford the equipment, but some of my friends who are Garifuna, like Alan and some other guys, they had families that could afford the equipment. So they would buy the equipment, didn't know how to use it, and would call me to learn it. Yeah, and that's how I got into it. And eventually, I learned the equipment. I said, okay, this is how everything works. We'll start record. Let's go. And that's how it went. And so I became friends with everybody. And I recorded for years and years and years and years. We started renting studios, but I was the engineer. So up to today, I am the engineer for these guys. And even for Stone Tree Records, it was the same story. Ivan was working for years with other people. And, you know, it was time for him to move back home. And he called me one day. He had this machine, same thing. And he asked me if I could come work with him and do some stuff. And it worked from then on. You know, but through that time, I also learned, I also taught a lot of people. So all like the engineers in Dangriga right now, you could say they came from my school. And I'm happy because no, I'm free. I don't have to record. Everybody is free. They would still call me with their problems. Like, this is giving trouble. It's crashed. I'd say, okay, good. Then I would fix things over the phone. I would go to them and say, okay, guys, okay, don't do it like this. Fix this up like this, you know. And that's how, so I'm like an advisor right now and just chilling and relaxing and working on the projects like I personally want to do. But that's how I got involved with Garifuna music, and it's a more family, it's a bond. I built a lot of friendship with the Garifuna people, and I work with I do live sound. So all the big concerts and events, I have a sound company that I own. So I do all these events. So I know everybody, all the Garifuna people, and all it. So they're good friends. And they depend on me. They would depend on me to pull it off, you know. They just give me this star, I just pull it off, and that's what I do.
And we should mention, you do play guitar with the Garifuna
Collective. Guitar and bass. Yeah. So we have a new bass. The bass player now, I schooled him, trained him, I taught him. It was easy. He was a bass player before, so I just said, these are the songs, learn them. Yeah, and he was disciplined enough to learn them, and if there was something I didn't like, I would tell him, well, just change the phrase, this is how you do it. You're overdoing, you know, play it like this, stick to the point. You know, and he really good people to work with. Mm-hmm. And so I'm playing guitar right now. But I love the stage. I love playing music, and it's a different feeling every time on every stage. There is no duplicate of anything. Even in my playing, I tell everybody, like, I don't play the same line twice. I never play the same. I go by feeling, I go by the temperatures, the stage, the venue. You know, I'm free to play like that. And I'm happy I have that luxury in the band. Like everybody, like the guy that turned around, what are you playing? I'm just playing. But I mean, I'm right there, right? Solid. I'm not straying far from nothing, but yeah. I had my own vibe and my own original thing. And in an interview yesterday, what we realize as the Garifuna Collective now is how do we translate our emotions to the audience as a musician on stage? That's the crisis we are in right now. And I think the world is reaching that level in terms of musician on stage. Like, you could have all the passion you want, but how do you get that translated to the audience? How do you make that person feel what you're feeling when you're playing the guitar, when you're playing the bass, when you're playing the drum? You know, I think that's a challenge now for any artist and musician on stage. How do you get this energy into that person? Like, how do you make them feel the same way you feel? And I think that's a challenge. Mm-hmm. Because you see it sometime, and even if it's just one person gets it, it's good. Yeah, because that's what it's all about, you know, part of the music and getting that you're playing, you're not playing for yourself, but you're playing for that person listening to you, and how could you make that person happy? You know, and that's where we are.
I like that you are talking about, you know, challenges. Even as the group has been around for a while, there's still many things to learn, always being challenged. I love it.
wo ani ha gumeru agai ha aru malu la ginda bu ruwa me wa habu abu de bei idala ne we megeru damele wasiamu ruwa me wa habu abu de bei idala ne we megeru damele
The Garifuna Collective, and Garifuna is spelled G-A-R-I-F-U-N-A. TheGarifunaCollective.com is the name of the website where you can find out more about the group and everything that's going on in their world. Al, thank you so much for making time to be a guest on. Thank you so much for being a guest on Musician Spotlight. And it's been a pleasure talking shop with you. Hope we get to see you again down
the
road.
Thank you. Yeah, we could talk more anytime. We're glad to talk more. We have a lot of stories.
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today has been the Garifuna Collective. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org, as well as through our own website, musicianspotlight.org. You can also find us on Facebook and on Twitter. Our program is available as a podcast from those websites, as well as through iTunes. Special thanks to the Montana Folk Festival and the Finland Hotel for this interview. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.